Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. We want to continue looking at fundamentals of utterance. So we'll call this one series 2. Okay. I don't know how many were in first. Like, okay. More than that. So we just make this one fundamentals of that. We'll make it series 2. All right. Amen. Now, one of the reasons why we're stressing this subject is because it's so key and pivotal to all that we are in Christ. It is basic, it is foundational to how the new creation gives expression to the life of God that we have received. So it's not a topic, it's our life we're looking at. It's more than a topic. And that's one of the reasons why I always implore us to please, if you've not yet imbibed the good habit of getting messages and listening, the daylight begins to dawn upon you in certain areas, you will feel like kicking yourself that you wasted so much time. I'm telling you the truth. When light starts dawning, that these are truths that have been taught for so long, but you've never been able to grasp or practice, the day a little light trickles in, you understand that you've lost a lot of time. And I don't want that to be a portion. So that's one of the reasons why we emphasize so much that please, this is what I do as a pastor. I listen to messages all the time. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So you will never capture all that is said in a service. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. All right, so we want to, this is the second phase of the series. So again, we're going to start from fundamental, which is one of the basic things, some of the truths that we believe that we know, and we're opening those things up again and revisiting them so that we can have a good foundation. Let's start reading from verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now notice the way it starts. It says, as it is written. So Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. Paul is bringing a particular truth of scripture prophesied by the prophets into the epistles, or the epistles therefore are the explanation of the things that were spoken of or prophesied by the prophets. So Paul is giving an explanation that when you read this in the Old Testament, that as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him, the fulfillment of those things, or the explanation of those things, is what I'm about to set out before you now. Hallelujah. He's quoting directly from the Old Testament, actually from the book of Isaiah. So he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. For them that love him is an expression that explains those who have received the love of God or who are born again. So there are things that God has prepared. Even though God has prepared those things were specifically reserved for those that have received and embraced the love of God, or who are now born again, or they are new creations. So when it says for those that love him, them, that love is speaking about, it's not speaking about you initiating love, it's talking about the love that you have towards God as a response to the love that God has for you. Amen. So it says, eyes have not seen. Where did this start from? Look at verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. You will understand what that statement means shortly as we read further. But it's bringing a thought, and it's continuing with that thought. It's saying there's a wisdom that we communicate. That wisdom doesn't originate from this world system. So there's a wisdom of the world, there's a wisdom that comes from God. He now says the wisdom that comes from God is the wisdom that we're expressing in all our epistles, which we're teaching in all our messages. He says that wisdom doesn't originate from the world or the princes of this world, which comes to nothing or is ineffective. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, when the Bible says that hidden wisdom which God prepared before the foundation of the world unto our glory, what is this speaking about? The way to interpret that scripture is to look at the fact that he said, if they had known it, they would not have crucified. So he's talking about redemption. Hallelujah. When it says, if they had known that wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What wisdom is talking about? It's talking about God's preparation for our redemption in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. So when it says that, for had they known it, none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have. In other words, there were things that God hid. How did he hide them? By putting them in the spirit. And since the nature of Adam, which is the nature of the fallen man, was in every man upon the earth, it was those to whom it was revealed that could speak it out. Why was God hiding it? Fundamentally, listen carefully, in the scriptures, everything that comes within the circumference of man's knowledge, Satan has access to. If you want to hide things from Satan, you hide things from man. It is men who educate Satan. Remember in Matthew chapter 2, how those wise men, they are not three wise men, it's wise men. Say wise men. It is very interesting what the Bible says and what people say. It's not three wise men. There's no record of three wise men. It is the wise men from the east. They saw the star that signified that a savior had been born. So they followed the star. Then decided to stop by the palace. Okay? And they told the king. And by educating Herod, they were educating Satan. Do you understand? Satan didn't know until the wise men told Herod. Because Satan is a spirit that was operating behind Herod. So the minute Satan knew, what did he do? He sent a message that every child from 2 years and under should be killed in order to stop the Savior from fulfilling his assignment. So whatever is exposed to men, Satan will have a handle upon it. Do you understand? So the Bible says that, which none of the princes of this world knew, or one of those who have the fallen nature of Adam, who belong to this world, none of them knew. For had they known it, what did they know? If they had known that the plan of salvation included Jesus being crucified, they would not have proceeded. In other words, Satan through men will have gleaned the fact that Jesus' crucifixion is a venue to our redemption. So the plan would not have been carried out. So there were things God hid in the spirit, but he prepared for our own benefit. Hallelujah. So look at verse 9 again now. But as it is written, verse 9, I has not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that want love him. Notice I has not seen. So he speaks about man here. I'm going to read on and I will come back for you to give what you call a contextual understanding of what he's talking about. Look at verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For all man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I want you to notice the constant emphasis on things. Things of the natural, things of the spirit. So we're seeing that we're dealing with natural tangibilities, we're dealing with spiritual tangibilities. And the focal point of the discussion of the two is man. So back to verse 9 now. I'm going to try and be as slow as possible. But as it is reaching, I has not seen nor yet heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. If those who love him is referring to those who are born again or who have received the love of God in Christ Jesus, then the things God has prepared is not accessible to those who are not those that love him. Do you understand what I just said? In other words, by preparing those things, and those things don't come by natural hearing or by natural sight, but those things are, look at the next verse, but God has revealed them to us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you're using King James, the capitalization of the word spirit is used majorly at the discretion of the interpreters or translators. So you need to read contextually to know, when is it talking about the spirit of God? When is it talking about the spirit of man? Hallelujah. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that there are places where the word spirit was capitalized and it wasn't the spirit of God it was referring to contextually. It was referring to the spirit or the reborn or the created spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Follow me closely. I deliberately started from this area because this is series 2, so we can start from the foundations again. Proverbs chapter 20 verse 27. Okay, some of the things I'm saying, these are the reasons why it's good to write. Some things that eat you, not just scriptures. I hope you don't do your writing in church by writing scriptures. I hope you know when you get to all you see the scripture. You won't see the points. That I hope you understand that. Don't do like we used to do. We're foolish. You are wise. After we get to Munari, the scripture, it won't make sense. Because the points highlighted, we didn't write. They are meant to write the thoughts that were communicated so that when you are reading the scripture, you'll be seeing those points there. That's what it means. Don't you just write scripture because they say we should write. All right. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching what? All the inward parts of the belly. This is the recreated spirit in prophecy. In other words, this was yet to be, but by inspiration, Solomon spoke this word. The spirit of man is the candle. The spirit of fallen man is not the candle of the Lord. The spirit of the recreated man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, the same way you will refer to your reborn spirit as belonging to Christ, God refers to your spirit as his candle. The word candle, there is a reference to the way they used to refer to in the old times, which is, you can say, the spirit of man is God's lamp. So God brings illumination, or God reveals, or God brings light through your spirit. So your recreated spirit, we're looking at that scripture that we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. If you're reading contextually, which spirit is he referring to? The Holy Spirit or your spirit? Very important that you understand the difference. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. He used the phrase his spirit, but the spirit there is not referring to the Holy Ghost. His spirit there is referring to your recreated spirit. For the spirit of man is God's candle, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So if your spirit, therefore, your reborn spirit is God's candle, God brings illumination through your spirit. Whatever revelation that God wants to communicate, he does so through the reborn human spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same way you said, my spirit is reborn and recreated in Christ, God calls your spirit his candle or his lamp or his avenue for showing light. Whatever, therefore, God wants to bring to your attention, he does so through your spirit. In other words, God trusts what has been wrought in your spirit in Christ, that everything he wants to communicate, he does so through your spirit. I know we have emphasized the Holy Ghost, and that is fine, but we need to understand, therefore, that even in prophecy, the spirit of man, that's the reborn spirit, is God's candle, or God's way of bringing illumination to you concerning every single affair of life. Hallelujah. So when he says that, for God has revealed them to us by his spirit. Let's look at one or two other places where he uses that word, his spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36. Remember what I said earlier, that the epistles came out of the prophetic scriptures. Okay? The epistles. You see in Romans chapter 4, how Paul began to quote the book of Psalms, the Psalms of David. About David spoke of what the blessedness of the man. So what happened in the New Testament or the epistles is an unveiling of the Old Testament, which is truths that the prophets could not access, truths that they spoke about they didn't understand by the Spirit of God in the New Testament has been unveiled to us by God's Spirit. Amen. In other words, our spirit has the capacity to interpret what was hidden from them because it was prepared for us. Amen. So the reality of what they prophesied was prepared for us. Why was it prepared for us? Because we have the capacity within our spirits to unlock, to unveil, and to interpret what they spoke of but never understood. So that the Spirit of God was upon them didn't change the fact that they were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead simply means that they could not function as God's candle. So God couldn't reveal things to them by their spirits. He couldn't use their spirit as a candle. Why? Their spirit was in darkness. They were in spiritual death. But the things that God has prepared for those who love him, or those he has prepared for the new creation, are the things we're now enjoying, unveiling as we look at the prophetic scriptures, of which the epistles are an explanation of. All right, are you in Ezekiel 36? I want you to see the new creation again in prophecy, or God's plans for redemption in prophecy. Verse 24, glory to God. Are we together tonight? Follow closely, for I will take you from among the Eden and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. This is prophecy. By the law of double reference, God was speaking to Israel. When the Bible says double reference, that means that a statement spoken to an individual or a nation can have two applications. Double reference means that while he was speaking to them at that point in time that they were in captivity physically, he was also speaking of the future, that there will be people he will call out for himself. Do you understand now? So, again, see what this is in verse 24. It says, for I will take you, and this is very crucial to your understanding. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be a new creation? I will. God is the originator of salvation. Notice this. I will take you from among the Eden. If I want to read in the same context, I will gather you out of all the countries and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idleness, idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stone out of your flesh and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Hallelujah. Notice the number of times he said, I will. What was he referring to? Salvation. In other words, God being the author and the actor of salvation, the sole responsibility for saving man is upon him. He's the one who originates it, he's the one who starts, he's the one who finishes it. Do you understand that? So he seems to say, I will. So look at verse 24 again. He says, for I will take you from among the Eden. One of the definitions that we find in Acts of Apostles of the word church is the word ecclesia, or those who have been called out. That's the same thing he's saying there. I will take you out from among the Eden. Ecclesia, the called out ones. In other words, salvation means that you personally had the call of God, even though you were once among the Eden. So when God is calling in salvation, you are still among the Eden. The Eden are not hearing, but you are hearing. And then by believing, you respond to the call. I will take you out from among the Eden. How does he do that? By calling you out into the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So he says, I will take you out from among the Eden. I will gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land. If I'm going too fast, just do like this. I'll slow down. Why are we looking at prophetic scriptures? You need to understand again that the epistles were taken from the prophetic scriptures. The difference between the prophetic scriptures and the epistles is that the epistles explains what they said. So from the prophetic scriptures, here is God speaking about salvation when he says, I will take you out from among the Eden. I will gather you. He's talking about the church. I will take you to your own land. That land is not Palestine. It is your own land. Because the Eden have a land. And all of us physically live among the Eden. So the land he's talking about can be the land that belongs to the Eden. The land referring to here is the new creation in Christ Jesus. This is what Jesus was saying in John chapter 14 when he says that, I go to prepare a place for you. We know he's not talking about the geographical location. He's talking about the realm of existence. So that where I am, you may what? Be there also. He's talking about status. So when he says to a land, into your own land, when I call you out of darkness into marvelous light, you will be in your own land. That land is the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible calls heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Are you coming along? It's important. Remember, the Bible talks about Abraham, that he looked for a city that had foundations. Which builder and maker is who? Is God. Look at the Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read from verse 10. We'll come back here. It's Bible study, so we are permitted to open scriptures plenty. So if you don't like opening scriptures, repent tonight. And Lord shall have mercy upon thy soul. Alright, let's read from verse 10. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10. For he, who is he, Abraham, look for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That was in Canaan land. That was in Judea. That was in Jerusalem. That was in Palestine. He just told you now the source of the land, or who the land originates from, the builder and the architect is God. Palestine wasn't, God is not the architect of Palestine. He's not the architect of Canaan land. Otherwise, there will be giants there. He says, whose builder and maker? So he looked for a city, means he looked away from where he was to where God promised. And where God promised was a place in Christ. That's the land he's talking about here. Amen. All right, let me read for that. Jump with me. Verse 16 or 14. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Where were they before? In a country. If they seek a country, that country cannot be earthly, because where they are is already earthly, and they were in the finest land when it comes to earthly lands. Look at what they say. For they that say such things declare plain that they seek a country, and truly if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have one return. But now they desire a better country. I mean an heavenly one. Glory to God. So you notice that the land is not a physical land. The land is the new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so see what he says. But now they desire a better. Again, another key to understand the New Testament. When you see the word better, it's a reference to the new covenant in Christ Jesus. That word is used a lot in the book of Hebrews. Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry, established on better promises, a better covenant. So the word better is a reference to the new creation, or to the new covenant we have in Christ Jesus. So when it says, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them what? A city. Now remember where we started from, in that 1 Corinthians 2:9. Don't turn there yet, we're still going to go back to Ezekiel. It says, for that is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. It seems God has what? He has won. What does he use here? He has prepared for them a city, or a place of abode, a habitation in the spirit. That's what he's talking about. So he's talking about the new creation. So go back to Ezekiel now. Now that you know that the land is not physical. Ezekiel 36, 24. Are you there? All right, for I will take you from among the Eden and gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land. Look at next one. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stone out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. So when it says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, what is it talking about? It's talking about the regeneration of your spirit, or the new birth in Christ Jesus. Notice it says, I will sprinkle clean water, you shall be clean from all your filthiness. What kind of filthiness? Physical? No. From all your idols will I cleanse you. So whatever filthiness is talking about, it's talking about spiritual filthiness. In other words, he's saying that your association with idols, because you were hidden or because you were spiritually dead, I will bring about the water of regeneration of the spirit, and you will be cleansed. To be cleansed, therefore, means to be reborn. Again, let me say this. Whenever the Bible is using water as a subject matter, it's talking about two things, a rebirth and a cleansing. A rebirth and a cleansing. The Bible uses water. It uses two words synonymously. Or it uses the word water and spirit. He's talking about the rebirth, and he's talking about what? A cleansing. So verse 25 again, it says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. As it happened when he was speaking? No, it was in prophecy. So it was something God would do through Christ. The time wasn't yet. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I what? Cleanse you. A new heart, did you see that? Also will I give you, and a new one, spirit, will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, I will give you an heart of flesh. Again, notice the key word, the stony heart out of you, or heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So when you use the word stony heart, it's simply referring to spiritual death. How many of you know stone is hard, stone is ash, and stone is dead, but flesh is alive? Do you understand that? So when it says, I will take out the stony heart, it means you will be reborn, or you will become alive in Christ. The heart of flesh is referring to something that is alive, as no longer spiritually dead. This is the explanation that Jesus was giving to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Look at John chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is Nicodemus when he came to Jesus by night. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Whenever Jesus is saying verily, verily, it means pay special attention. That's double emphasis. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus thought Jesus was speaking about natural birth, but Jesus was speaking about spiritual birth. The word born again doesn't occur many times in scriptures. Jesus used it, Peter used it. Okay? But it was a phrase that was used for rebirth or to be reborn. Since man is already born in the natural, the only rebirth that can happen is a spiritual one. So Jesus now further explained. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be born of water and of the spirit? Actually, it's not really water and of the spirit. He actually reads water, which is the spirit. Amen. So the word water and spirit can be interchanged, or they are used interchangeably. A man will have to be born of the water, which is the spirit. So when he was saying that I will sprinkle clean water upon you, he was saying that I will use my spirit to reborn you. So you can be reborn. Yes. Hallelujah. Let me read further. Let's see what it says. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Why did Jesus say that? Jesus was quoting from Ezekiel 36. Jesus was saying, according to Ezekiel's prophecy, you ought to know you are a master of Israel. You are a teacher of the law. You ought to know that in the prophets, God has already said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will cleanse you from all speediness. I will put a new spirit within you. And that God was speaking about the new creation in Christ. Amen. So Jesus said what he said because he automatically assumed that Nicodemus should know. It is written in the prophets. So what was written in the prophets was about to be fulfilled. Jesus was teaching the same principle that what does it mean to be born again? It means for your spirit to be regenerated. It means for God to put his own spirit within your heart. It means at the same time for you to be cleansed of all filthiness or for you to be cleansed from all sin. That's why you can find no sin in the new creation. God personally supervises the regeneration. God personally supervises the cleansing such that no sin can be mentioned concerning the new creation. So when God says, I will put my spirit within you and I will cleanse of all filthiness and you shall be clean, that's God's verdict. It means that he said that the work is will be so thorough, you shall be clean. Having no blemish, having no spot, having no stain. That's what it means. So when it says you must burn of the water, which is the spirit, he's using the same words interchangeably. In other words, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. What will those rivers do? They will ensure the new creation. Or they will lead to the birth of the new creation. The rivers of living water is spoke of the spirit. What will the spirit do? The spirit is the agency through which man is reborn in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. If you never read Titus before, you read him today. The only title some of us know is that of Sardine. Thank God that there's a pastor called Titus, a bishop actually. So I'm helping you so that when you get to him, you can talk to him on some of the things he said. Alright. But after that, the kindness of the love of God, our Savior towards man has appeared. Next verse, sir. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Notice verse 4 again. Look at that. Look at verse 4 again. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. What is he calling kindness and love? Salvation through Christ. It means when he was offered on the platform of grace. It had nothing to do with conduct. Listen carefully. That is why the continuation of it has nothing to do with conduct. Did you hear what I said? After that simply means then there's a response. After it appears, after it is proffered, after it is offered, then there's a response of each individual towards it. But what is he, how is he defining salvation here? This is Paul's way of teaching salvation through the epistle he wrote to Titus. What does he call it? The kindness and the love of God our Savior. Towards who? Towards man. Not by work of righteousness which we've done, but according to whose mercy? Whose mercy? His mercy is saved us by the what? The washing of regeneration and what? Renewing of the holy. The two are the same. Notice what is the word wash and then regenerate. Can somebody else bring up another word for regenerate? To bring back again, or to bring to life again, or to process something anew. So the old heart of stone is gone. The new heart of flesh is alive. So one is dead, the other is alive. And it says the agency is the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Jesus calls him water when he was seeking Nicodemus. Except he might be born of water and of the Spirit, or water which is the Spirit. Hallelujah. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. So when you say water, it's not water baptism. Somebody was asking, Pastor, why don't we do water baptism? I said, it's not really necessary. Is it important for us? I said, actually, it's not really necessary. I said, what do you mean? I said, water baptism was emphasized in the early church because of the nature of the persecution that they were facing. What was that persecution? They were not doing baptism in swimming pool. It's river. Why did they need river? Because that's where the public were. They needed to publicly identify with Christ and declare their faith. Then, because of the nature of the persecution. Not only that, water baptism, which John pioneered, was meant to symbolize on the outside what will happen to man inside when Christ rises from the dead. Should I say that again? Water baptism, that John was baptizing people for the baptism of repentance, was what was taking place on the outside, dipping men into water and bringing them out, was a sign of what will happen when God dips us, dips our spirit in the Holy Ghost and brings us out. What will happen to your spirit? You will be reborn. What will happen to you? You have been cleansed of all sin. The nature of God will have been imparted to you. So here he calls it the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So what happened when you came into Christ? You were baptized. Your spirit was immersed. Sprinkling water on people is not baptism. It's sprinkling water. What is baptism? Immersion. What when you got saved? You were immersed into Christ. When you came out, you were Christ-like. It means you and the substance that was used to cleanse you became one. So yeah, there's no difference. Hallelujah. Somebody put it this way. When you were cleansed, you were not cleansed so that the who is living in you can live in you. You were cleansed by the same material that of which your spirit is now created from. So there's a level of equality. Shall I say that again? I need to see, it seems basic and simple. It's the foundation for everything we're teaching. Once you understand this, you will flow with ease. Because some believers still believe that they, you know, that the nature that they have comes and goes. You know, that the Holy Ghost is a visitor, he goes and comes. That's the problem. Because here he talks about the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus taught it as you are born of the water, which is the Spirit. What was he speaking about? The Bible says concerning Jesus, out of his belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. What will water do? It will cleanse. And there will be a rebirth inside of man. So what Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 36. Go back to Ezekiel 36 now. Whenever I'm spending so much time. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, shall be clean. And from your all of near, from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Next verse. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Next verse. And I will put my and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. Stop. I will put my spirit. So in prophecy, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. When it says I'll put my spirit here, he is not talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the new heart or the heart of flesh or your wicked spirit. God calls your wicked spirit my spirit. Why is he calling your wicked spirit my spirit? Because it is his nature that you have received. Do you understand? Notice here he uses small s, and they are correct. Why they use small s? He's now calling that spirit that has been sprinkled with water, that spirit that has been regenerated, that spirit now calls a heart of flesh. He's not calling it my spirit, or that which carries my nature, my signature. That's what I'm calling. He's not calling your spirit my spirit. So you now see what Solomon prophesied makes sense. The spirit of man is God's personal candle. So your new created spirit that you're calling my spirit, God is also calling your spirit my spirit. Hallelujah. God calls your spirit my spirit too. So you're not the one who has ownership. God has ownership also, right, over your spirit. It was after the process is complete, now calls your spirit my spirit. So I will put my spirit within you and cause you or enable you or give you the nature that will walk in my statutes. He didn't say I will give you my statutes. You will naturally walk because my nature and my statutes are one. Glory to God. Alright? Alright. We did all that to go back to 1 Corinthians 2. So you understand what Paul is not teaching. 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah, thanks Pastor Tim. But as it is written, I has not seen nor hear heard. Why has I have not seen nor hear heard? He just finished talking to you about the prince of this world. For are they known? Why can't they know? Their heart is a heart of stone. They are spiritually dead. The things that God has prepared, where is God? God is light. In him is no one darkness. So if the heart is a heart of stone, you're spiritually dead. What God has prepared, he prepares in the light. The substance what is prepared is of the light. So what whoever has a heart of stone who is in darkness can't receive those things. Someone says why? He doesn't have the capacity to do so. Do you get it now? He doesn't have the capacity to do so. So see what it says now. No, yeah, and then I've entered in another one, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Remember, what's our definition of those who love God? What's our definition of those who love God? No. See, you need to. I hope you see why I said you're right. Look at the way you are quoting back to me, and I'm not hearing what you are saying. When you have a colossal answer, or do you say, you stand up, tell us the definition of. Someone says, why am I emphasizing? Listen carefully. I was taught that those who love God are those who are passionate about God. That is not correct. And if you read that way, you already missed it. So you'll be struggling all your life to love God. But those who love God is a reference to those who have responded to God's law. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says that hearing is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So it is his love that we are responding to. So response to God's law is what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. You understand? So prepared means that those people that those who were prepared for means they are in a state, they are in a phase where whatever God has prepared, they can receive. If they can receive, they must have the nature that can receive. To now define them, he now gives another phrase, those who love him. So those who love me is not your action towards God. Those who love God is an expression that dictates those who have been born by God. Okay? Alright, good stuff. So he says, but God has revealed them to us by his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Next verse. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now stop. Again, he's emphasizing man. But God has revealed them, what them? The things which he has prepared to us by his spirit. His spirit there is not a reference to the Holy Ghost. His spirit there is your recreated spirit, which God is now calling his spirit. Hallelujah. If you understand, let me see your hand. Should I say that again? When he says God has revealed them to us by his spirit, how do we know that can't be the spirit of God? Look at what he said next. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but who? The spirit of God. So when it says God has revealed them to us by his spirit, remember the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So the spirit of man is how God brings illumination to man. Someone says, if my spirit is God's candle, how then do I have the illumination? Your mind needs illumination. Your mind needs understanding. Your mind needs to capture what your spirit already knows. So because you have been reborn in Christ, your spirit and the spirit of God are at par, or they roll together. They throw spirit things at one another. Having the same nature. You know that, you know that's where I got that phrase from, pass the cup. You drink small, God drinks more. You are drinking from God's cup. If you are speaking hymns and psalms, you are shaking from God's cup. You are seen like God sees. You are in victory, like God always has victory. Hallelujah. You know, it sounds, Pastor, this thing you are saying, but this is scriptures. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit. For the spirit, this particular spirit, searches all things. And he already told you, the spirit of man is the kind of Lord searching. The spirit of man is what is defined to as God has written the truth by his spirit. His spirit there is a reference to your recreated spirit. Amen. So your spirit searches. Or let's put it this way. Now that your spirit is in the arena of God, whatever wisdom your mind needs, your spirit looks for where it is, brings it out of the realm where it is, and throws it to your mind. That only searches. See what it says again. For one man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. So, fallen man, Adamic lineage. You don't teach a child sin. A child grows up to know what sin is and to be familiar with sin. He just grows up and just knows naturally. Why? The things of the fallen man knows. Because the spirit is already dead. And the things that will come out of the spirit are death. So you see, there are unbelievers who are completely at home with murder. And they feel cool about it. They are using human beings for rituals. And their conscience being dead is at home with it. Have you seen people fighting and they are stabbing and they are at home with it? It's not a big deal. Consciences are dead. What, who knows the things of a man service with one which is name? Even so, or in like manner, in the same way, the things of God. So he has just done something, he has compared the things of man, the things of God. When he says the things of man, you are not the man he's referring to. Because it just says that God has revealed certain things to you by his spirit. What's he referring to as spirit? Your recreated spirit is God's spirit now. Your spirit is God's candle. Amen. Hallelujah. If your spirit is God's candle, he now says that one man knows the things of a man. Saves me one which is in him. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. So he's now saying that the same way man is in his fallen state, knows all that pertains to that state. You, in your recreated state, you know all that pertains to God. If you understand, let me see here. Good stuff. Very important. Because all this rigmarole that I just went through is the reason for utterance. Is the reason for utterance. If you know the background, if you know the foundation, if you know the fundamentals, you'll be able to yield at all times. You won't think it's something that just comes upon you. Like some people teach. Look at next verse. Glory, glory, glory. Next verse. Now we have received. I don't know about you, but this is where me, I start shouting and start dancing. So even if I want to doubt, I read this verse over there. Now, say now. We have received. Past tense, it's done. It can't be reversed. It's done. Ezekiel's prophecy has been fulfilled. I've been sprinkled with clean water. There's a new spirit within me now. Glory to God. I've been born of water, which is the spirit. I've been washed by the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Now we have received not the spirit which is of, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of one God. So you can use that word spirit as a word nature. So there's a nature that belongs to the world, or the nature that belongs to Adam, the fallen man. And there's a nature that belongs to God. The nature that belongs to God is the nature that the new creation has. So you have God's spirit. Say, I have God's spirit within me. My spirit is the same as God's spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost now. I'm talking about your recruited spirit. Very important. So he says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know what? The things that are freely given to us of God. My spirit, or the spirit of God within me, or my recruited spirit, or my born again nature knows the things of God. So when Moses says God has revealed them to us by his spirit. So I am God. Let me use Martins and Gift. Stand up. This is where we stand up. So, yes, start with Kekom. This is God. Don't you feel that role? So this is Martin's spirit, Martin's soul. You understand? So God does something to Martin's spirit. And everything God wants to do, remember, listen carefully, everything that man does, he does based on information in his soul. So what God does is this, he takes control of the command center, the spirit. Then he now begins to train the spirit on how to educate the soul. For the experience a man will have will come out of his soul. So whatever you find here is a reflection of what the experiences will be. So if this soul is without the spirit, there's trouble in man's life. But God doesn't deal directly with the man's soul. He deals with spirit. So since the spirit is reborn, he now gives light to the soul through the spirit. So God's candle is this one here. What will candle do? It will bring light, knowledge, and understanding to the soul. What will soul do? It will transform the man. Or bring about new experiences. Remember Romans chapter 12 verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your own mind. How does renewal of mind place? It's work of the spirit. The spirit of God takes the word of God. When it says compare spiritual wisdom with richer, he takes the word of God with spirit things and begins to compare them to the soul for the soul to grasp it. When the soul grasps it, we say the life of the person is transformed, but we say the mind is renewed. So a renewed mind and a transformed life are one and the same. Are you getting it? So this is God. God's candle is Martin's spirit. That means whatever God wants to communicate into Martin's life, he will use his spirit to share the light into the soul. So revelation really is a function of the soul. The things of God are not revealed to the spirit. The things of God are known by the spirit of God. Yes, thank you. Amen. All right, are we cool? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may want to know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say with me, there are things that are freely given, which God has prepared. So the things he said in verse 9, that which eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Why haven't I seen it? Because the eyes that have not seen, the ears have not heard, that have not entered into the heart, is fallen man. Because his heart is spiritually dead. His heart is a heart of stone. So the things God has prepared, which are things of the light, which are things of Christ, which are things of the resurrected one, those things God has revealed or made known or transferred by his spirit, which is our new nature. Now we have received that same spirit or that new nature that we might know. So knowing, cooperating, walking, and living out that life is the primary reason why we receive that life, that nature. But there are things that God has freely given once you are in Christ. So you receiving Christ means you receive an entire package of things that God has freely given. Freely giving means that you don't have to do anything to qualify. The qualification has been accomplished in Christ. Amen. That's why 1 John chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 4. See what it says? 5, 4. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Say to me, whatsoever is born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he already says that you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Naturally, you would think when it says than he that's the world, that is primarily referring to Satan. Really, it's primarily referring to fallen man, who already has the nature of Satan. So when it says that you are off, the word you are off means you ail, you proceed, you came out of God. You ail, your origin is from God. You are of God. And you have overcome them. You know what it means to have overcome? It means that, let me put it this way. Think, look at it, look at the physiology. You are of God, little children, and you have, not you will. You have, therefore, means that after, listen carefully, after Christ died, was buried, and went to hell, he did something in the midst of hell. The Bible says that he spread what? Principalities and what? Powers. How many of you remember that scripture? And made a public show of them openly. Okay, he spoiled. That's what it was, spoiled. He spoiled principalities and what powers. Colossians 2. He spoiled. In verse 14 and 15. He spoiled principalities and powers and made a public show of them. The word spoil there means to paralyze them. He stripped them of all their armor. So he was the one who conquered. He was the one who overcame. He now arose. He arose to prove that it was done. Then he sat. Then when he sat, you became possible. Listen carefully. You became possible after he finished the process. It was because he has finished the process before you came on the scene that the Bible calls you more than conquerors. Listen carefully. He is the conqueror. You are more than. You didn't come into being until after he sat. So at the time he sat, he was no longer conquering. It was a done deal. Then he gave you the spoil or the trophies. That's why you are more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says that you are of God, little children, and you have overcome, it means he was put in your account. Or when Christ rose from the dead, his rising meant he couldn't rise until he spoiled principalities and powers and paralyzed all the power of the enemy. So when he rose, whatever he rose with, you are the result. So he says you are not going to miss that. It's not as though there is a new fight to fight. The fight has been fought and won. You need to stay. These stances, you don't need long. You just sit and just get drunk. And if we're crying before, you just start laughing. They say that you will see, you will not get that money. Me, I will not get the money. I will not get the money I've already gotten. Say, you will see, I will not lose. You lost a long time ago. You lost so well that there's no rematch. You were so utterly disgraced that there's no second chance. And Jesus ascended to the highest place to prove there's no second chance for you. Guess what? He took me with him. Satan, I'm now your Lord. You can't speak where I speak. You can't stand where I stand. You have no say where I speak. You are of God. You originate from God. You proceed from him. And you have overcome. The nature within you is proof that you have overcome them. So if you didn't rise, the new creation will be possible. That it rose, you became possible. You became a reality in the Father's heart. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Somebody says, now we have received. Hallelujah. This is what we received. And overcoming life. Not the nature weakness of the world, but nature weakness of God. That we might know. One of the things we know is we have overcome. We have overcome. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Okay, so I'm back to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. See what it says next. It says, that we may know the things which are freely given. No, verse 13 says, which things also we speak. Verse 13. Are we there? All right. So it says, which things also we, what things do we speak? We start from verse 9. 5, we start from verse 6. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Even the hidden wisdom. What is hidden wisdom? Things that eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. What does it say in verse 10? God has revealed those things to us. What are those things? What man knows the things of a man, same spirit, even so the things of God. So the things of God, he calls them hidden wisdom. He calls them things that eyes have not seen or ear heard. He calls them things that are freely given to us. Verse 13 says, which things also we speak. Why do we speak? Because we know them. Utterance is available because there are things your spirit knows. Language originates from knowledge. So there's language unread from natural knowledge. There's spirit language that originates from spiritual knowledge. So your spirit has a language. We call it tongues. Why is your spirit speaking? Or where is there a language? Because there's a foundation of knowledge or a fountain of knowledge your spirit speaks from. What does it say in verse 12? Which things, verse 13, which things also we speak? Why are we speaking? Things which are freely given, which we have received. If we have received and they are present tense realities in our spirit, which things also we speak. That's why your spirit knows the exact date you are going to get married. Or let me put it this way, the exact date you should get married. Should means you can counter it. But if you agree with your spirit, it will lead you in such a way that the day will be a reality. Your spirit knows where all the funds will come from. Your spirit knows how to ensure that the weather is good that day. Hallelujah. Which things also? Someone says, why is my spirit, how come my spirit knows all those things? Your spirit comes from him who is perfect. So your spirit has perfection inside of it. But here is the issue. Where is the expression? Which things also we speak? We speak not with words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. How does the Holy Ghost teach? Inspiration. How does spirit respond? Utterance. What is the outcome? Revelation to your mind. I just jumped some steps there. How does the Holy Ghost teach you? Inspiration. How does your spirit respond? Utterance in tongues. What is the fruit of it? Understanding to your mind. Glory to God. That is why whatever you have not said, you have not said. I said that some time ago. It will sound, whatever you have not said, you have not said. So if you're given to speaking in tongues for long hours, what you are doing is that you are framing experiences that your spirit knows you should have because God has given you liberty in that area. Whether it is favor before men, whether it's contracts to come, whether it's places you ought to be, whether it's an assignment you ought to fulfill, your spirit knows the things of God concerning you. Your spirit, therefore, will not depend on your yielded tongue, which is a function of your will, to speak out those things. When you speak them out, it's as though you give permission for your environment to frame the experience. Which things also we speak, not with words, which man's wisdom teaches. So he says, why are we speaking with what is the Holy Ghost teachings? Remember, he has already said, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Mature. Not the wisdom of this world. It means whatever your spirit utters through that supernatural language can't be countered by the enemy. It's the wisdom above his understanding. Amen. Your spirit will speak things that your mind will capture, yet the enemy will still be in the dark. As long as he's in the dark, he can do nothing about it. That's why Satan does a lot of things to stop believers from speaking in tongues. It's a language that confuses him. It's a language that shows his eternal defeat. That is a realm of oppression he can never have access to. There's an initiation that you have to have access to that realm. It's called born again. And he is certainly not. He's dead again and again. He is dead again and again. But you are born again. Hallelujah. So you have access to that realm. And which things also we speak. Not with words which man's wisdom teaches. But which the Holy Ghost does what? Teaches. Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. So he keeps talking about things. So there are spirit things and natural things. But we're talking about spirit or spiritual tangibilities. Realities being communicated. Whatever you have not said, you've not said. Whatever you have said, you have said. So there are things you ought to frame with the words of your mouth. As you speak those things, that's why a lot of us, we come for meetings, maybe prayer meetings, or we spend time speaking, and then some of us go to bed and sleep, and then you woke up in the morning and you did not notice that the new thoughts you seem to have now was not there the night before. They were the harvest of the things you spoke out by your spirit. You suddenly know who to talk to, who to see. You feel like I should call this person. It's the harvest. The wisdom that your mind needed was spoken out by your spirit as a revelation. And you woke up in the morning and your mind is suddenly full of new thoughts, new things to do. I suddenly have this urge. I need to go in this direction. The direction was given by your spirit. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Hallelujah. God brings illumination to our spirits. Amen. We'll stop here tonight. Scriptural background. This had been spoken of. So there's nothing sudden about tongues. There's nothing accidental about utterance. It is the heritage of the believer. It is the primary way that the new creation and things of the new creation are expressed. So when you hear some preachers say, even though their own understanding is different, that a closed mouth is a closed destiny, there's some level of truth in it. There's some level of truth in it. Because some things need to be spoken out. If you don't speak them out, you will never come into the experience of those things. It says, which things? The things that are freely given. What are the things that are freely given? The things which God has prepared. What's another word for it? Hidden wisdom. The Bible says, and God prepared it before the foundation of the world for our glory. For our glory. You know what glory is? For our exaltation. For our blessing. For our increase. He prepared it. But we must speak it. That's why we give a lot of attention to utterances. We give a lot of attention to utterances. There's nobody who consistently exercises in speaking supernatural utterances who won't have a level of grace at work in his or her ministry, whatever that ministry is. Even if your ministry is serving tables, you will experience a greater manifestation of God's power in your ministry. Even if it's serving tables, even if it's cooking, you see some things will open up. I'm telling you serious truths. Some things just are opening up. Why? It's all linked. Whatever is from above is above all. So if you are using spiritual things to tamper with natural things we're giving. Natural things we're giving. I'm telling you the truth. This is how it works. Natural things will give way and spiritual things will prevail. One is the parent material. The other one is the result. The natural is the result of the spiritual, not the other way around. So you're using a superior material to handle an inferior one. One has to give way. And it will be the spiritual. It should be the natural. That's the way it works. But you have to persist and stay with it. Which things also we speak. If your mouth can frame it and speak it, and it can come out of your spirit, the environment will produce it. Amen.